get in trouble.
Red flag, I throw something light, it's just like left on the shoe. So I won't get messed up on the tree.
This is all right.
So how are you feeling?
This day.
You got some pets?
But, hey, you're in church.
Good morning, folks. About time to get started. Got a few announcements. Want to keep everybody informed about our prayer list. We want to keep Naoma and Dustin in our prayers and keep checking on them. They didn't make it today, so we hope they're doing well. Want to keep Ken and Sandy White in our prayers. Ken's here with us today. Please keep Sandy in your thoughts and prayers, and hopefully she's handling everything just fine. Josh is here. Josh has been still feeling down. We're hoping that the medications and things that he's on is going to help him to continue to improve. Got a few birthdays. I just wanted to make a mention. Sue Clark did pass away this week on Monday. For those that didn't get an email or didn't get on that list. She was found in her home by the local police on the floor, unconscious. They revived her, and then at the hospital she passed. So please keep Sue's family in your prayers, and there should be a service, but it's going to be up in the Chicago area. Do have a couple birthdays coming up in November. Doug's going to be having a birthday on the 16th. Sharon Williams on the 21st. Helen Bell will be on the 23rd. And looks like the McMillans are having an anniversary on the 27th.
So,
isn't that something? Congratulations.
How many years is it?
I just want to know how well you've been trained by now, that's all. Okay. As far as our order of worship today, James McMillan will be doing our song leading. Charles Wall has our opening prayer. The Lord's Supper will be Jamie Poe and Briar Blair. The sermon will be brought to us by Rob Whitaker through the program that we're working on putting together. Mike Porter, you have the closing prayer. And that's about all I have. Does anybody have any other announcements for this morning that we need to bring up? All right, let's go ahead and get our service started.
I too want to welcome everyone this morning. It's a great honor that you're here, especially if you're a visitor. So let's all get out a song book and sing praises to our Lord.
Living by faith, number 400. Living by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my word he is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting can find in his great love, from all hearts there, in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting and
fighting
in his great love.
His great love.
From a heart set in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith. No matter what evil be done, why should I tempest may blow if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith,
yes, faith
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting can find in his great love. From all I'm set in a sheltering heart,
living by faith,
and feel no alarm. Our next song selection will be 542. Pure in the heart, O God.
Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May
purer in heart. Help me to be purer in heart, O God. Help me to be. Teach me to do thy will most.
Thankful our Heavenly Father for listening to the Lord's Day, and we have this opportunity to come together for a Bible study, worship service, again this evening at 5. We pray for you, help us to always have the strength and the courage and desire to put you first in our lives and attend all these services. We pray, Father, for our number that's not disprivileged, those on our prayer list, and those that's homebound and can't get out. We pray your richest blessings on them as they go about their daily activities. We pray, Father, for this great country in which we live. We pray, Father, that the Constitution will always be followed. And we pray that the troops that's going in these states, Father, can all be withdrawn as they're just causing trouble. Because, Father, we need to live together in peace and harmony. We pray you bless Ukraine, Father, who's having to fight the war with Russia. We pray that the nuclear war will never be used and that somehow that war can be curtailed. And we pray that we won't be involved in wars and what things that's going on in our country. We pray, Father, you bless us as we go through this life. Give us strength and courage and always the desire to do the best we can with what we got. But your best message coming this morning. Bless Doug tonight as he preaches. We're thankful for the lesson this morning that James gave us in Bible study. To be with us all, Father. Forgive our sin and find us, save us. In Christ's name. Amen.
You may be seated. When I survey the wondrous cross, we're going to sing in preparation for the Lord's Supper. If you're following in the song book, it's 742. 742. When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should fall, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Seek ye from His hand, His hand, His seed, sorrow and love flow me go now. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, for thrones compose so rich a crown? His dying crimson like a robe spreads o'er His body on the tree. Then am I dead. Oh,
her mind that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, deep in my soul, my life, my all.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time. It's the remembrance of you on the cross and what you gave for us. And the bread represents the body, your body that you gave for us, that it was broke up and scorned and cut with the thorns, and you sacrificed all that so that we may have a home with you in life and forgiveness of our sins. And we can never express our gratitude enough, but my prayer is that as we take this, that we remember your body there on the cross that day and what you gave up for us. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. I thank you, Father, who art in heaven, for allowing us all to be here this beautiful, wonderful day to partake in this cup, which represents Jesus Christ's blood, which he shed on that cross for us. And Lord, I know that it was such a big sacrifice that all Jesus did for us, Lord, and I thank you for it. Lord, please bless us as we partake of this cup. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we've all been commanded to give as we've been prospered, and at this time we take up money to spread the word here at the congregation of Harrisburg. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the things that you have bestowed upon us. We are rich people, whether we realize it or not sometimes, but everything that we have belongs to you, and it's things that we have been blessed with by you. And we just hope and pray that we can give with a free heart and a cheerful heart, especially at times like this when there's so many in need and there's great work that can be done through your church. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
At this time, I'd like for you to mark in your psalm books 346. 346. We'll sing that after our lesson this morning. And before our lesson of the hour, we're going to sing 415, More About Jesus. 415. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
More about Jesus,
more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, may each faithful say mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. We will be using the songbook later. It will not be on the overhead.
No.
This is a production of World Video Bible School. To God be the glory.
Let's stay with the message. When Richard and Daisy Pratt walked down the center aisle and they headed towards the podium, I was preparing for my Bible class. I'd never seen or met Richard and Daisy before, but they were walking with a purpose. They had one thing on their mind, and when our eyes met, the first words out of his mouth were these: "Does this church just preach the Bible?" Well, my response was immediate: "That is the only thing we preach here." He said, "Good, because the church we left last week stopped doing that years ago." Richard and Daisy Pratt were longtime members of a local Methodist church. They were discouraged because the Methodist church was no longer using the scripture. And so Daisy and Richard were looking for a group of people who respected the authority of the Word of God. Now, in this instance, there was no need for us to invite them into our home to begin building relationships. They were thirsting and they were looking for a congregation that studied the scriptures. They were ready for a Bible study. And so what we did is we invited them immediately to sit down and begin those studies. That week, in fact, we sat down in the church library and we began book one of Back to the Bible. Richard and Daisy were very, very interested in the scriptures. They were learning things they had never learned before. In fact, they made several comments as we compared the differences between the Old and New Testament. Things that they were learning, it was fascinating to them. In fact, they were so excited about what they were learning. They were so intent about going into the scriptures. They were satisfied with the Bible study. At the end of the study, Richard looked at me and he said, "I'm ready to join." I said, "Well, Richard, we're not quite ready just yet." He said, "Preacher, there's no need to continue these studies." He said, "I'm convinced you use the scriptures. You're exactly what we've been looking for. This church is the church we've been wanting for a long time. We're ready to join right now." I said, "Richard and Daisy, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but we need to study just a little bit more." He said, "Well, if you want to, preacher," he said, "but I really don't need any more studies because I'm ready to join today." And so after a little bit of an insistence, Richard and Daisy agreed to come back the following week. We were going to go into lesson number two. As we went into lesson number two, once again, they were eager, they were excited. They were learning things they'd never seen before: the frequency of the Lord's Supper, the organization of the church, how we worship. And at the end of this particular study, Richard said, "Now I'm ready, sign me up." I said, "Richard, there's no need to sign any form to be a member of this congregation." He said, "Well, what do I need to do?" And I said, "Well, you need to come back for the third study." He said, "I don't want a third study." He says, "I want to be a member of this congregation right now. This is a church that preaches the Bible." He says, "How much do I owe you?" I said, "No, Richard, you don't owe me any money." He said, "Well, do I need to pay a bill?" I said, "No, there's no bill. What you need to do is come back for the third study." Understanding that we need to develop faith in their lives. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we quite hadn't done all the studies yet. So I invited Richard and Daisy to come back the third time. I could tell he was a little bit frustrated, but I was confident that he was going to come back. During the week, Richard went to the local sawmill. Richard, he was a logger. He was selling some of the logs that he had logged during the week to the local sawmill. The person to whom was taking the order was one of our elders. He knew he was one of our elders. And so he sat down in his office, and our elder asked, "Richard, how are the studies going?" He says, "They're going great." He said, "But I got a problem with that little preacher of yours." He says, "He won't let me join his church." Brother Joe was a little bit taken back by this particular statement, and he said, "Richard, what did he tell you?" He said, "You've got to come back for the third study." And the elder said to Richard, "That's exactly what you need to do." And so Richard and Daisy came back for the third study. They no doubt thought they were saved by the answers they had given us in a previous session. And as they began to learn about sin and God's plan of salvation, I could tell their countenance was changing. They began to realize that they may not be saved. And then at one particular point in the study, I knew they knew that they had not done what the Bible says. And in fact, Richard looked at me at one point in the study, and he said, "Preacher, now I understand what you're saying." He says, "I can't join your church. Number one, it's not your church, is it?" And I said, "No, it's not, Richard." He said, "Number two," he said, "it's the Lord who will add me to the church." And I said, "That's exactly right." And that very afternoon, we took them and baptized them into Christ. It's so important that we emphasize the scriptures and Bible studies. Dear friends, it's not about the messenger. It's about the message. You see, I'm convinced that the biggest mistake we're making in personal evangelism is a lack of personal Bible study. We need to put the Bible into Bible studies. Yes, indeed, many people are having great talks about the Bible, but they're not having Bible studies. May I ask you a personal question? How many Bible studies have you had in the past 5 years? Now, as you consider your answer, I know several of you probably are thinking about all the discussions you've had, the tea room talks, the coffee room chats, the break room, may I say bras when you have a disagreement, or maybe those Facebook frenzies, I call them, on Facebook, where quick back and forth answers are given to a Bible question. So maybe you said, I've had dozens of those. May I suggest to you, that is not an organized Bible study. Let me ask this question this way. How many organized Bible studies have you had in the past 5 years? Perhaps that's why you're not getting the results that we should be receiving in the Lord's church. Because we have the truth, and when you find honest people, they should be obeying, but they're not, because we're not having organized Bible studies. Today, it seems that there's a conversational approach to evangelism that's taking place in too many places. What is conversational evangelism? This is where people want to have a little talk about Jesus, but they don't want to have a study about Jesus. I realize it's less formal, maybe easier to talk about the Bible, but dear friends, if we want people to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, it needs to get in their heart. There needs to be a Bible study. So once again, I want to make this statement and make it very clear. It's time that we put the Bible back into personal Bible studies. How and why is this important? I want to suggest to you three ways that you can get people into a Bible study and emphasize. Number one, we need to defer and we don't need to debate. You remember Jackie and Sheila Birdwell? They wanted to ask the 20 questions. In fact, most people in Bible studies, that's what they want to do. They want to ask you a question and they want you to answer the question. The problem is the questions never stop. And the answers continue sometimes for years. May I encourage you, please don't chase those rabbits. Defer. Don't debate them. Defer the question. Have you ever been on a rabbit hunt? You don't chase rabbits because you're never going to get them all. They're just going to keep coming. I want to suggest to you this, that we don't defer questions because we don't want to answer them, but because they're not asking the right questions. Not ready. Friends, this is very biblical. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he made this statement in John 16 and verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. In essence, he says, you're not ready. Or maybe they're not asking the right questions. There were times when Jesus would re-ask a question because they weren't asking the right question. It's not that Jesus didn't want to answer it. They just weren't ready for it. And so we're going to practice deferring in a Bible study, and we're not going to enter into a debate of a back and forth. Can I give you an example of this? During this sit between Jackie and Bob, Sheila immediately began to ask me questions. Her first one, why don't you believe in music? Now the preacher inside of me really wants, because you know, we believe in music. We believe instead of mechanical, instrumental music. Taking her to Ephesians, or explain the difference between the old and the new law. But dear friends, that's not what I needed to do. If a Bible study was my goal, if my goal was to try to get them into gospel obedience, don't play question and answers. So this was my response. But why do you believe that we should use instruments in worship? What I wanted to do is prolong the conversation. So I deferred her question, and I didn't want it to turn into a debate. Once again, these are biblical principles. Would you take your Bibles, if you have them available, Matthew 21, 23 and following, and let's notice what Jesus did when people would ask him these questions. When he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him, and he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Notice how Jesus responded. Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. They were not asking the right questions. Their motives weren't right. Jesus knew they weren't ready. And so what Jesus did is ask a question that got to the heart of the matter. And so this is what Jesus said. the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe in him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the prophets, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. You see, Jesus wanted the people to reason, and he wanted to address them in the right manner with the right question. Let me suggest to you a second point as to how to get people into a Bible study and emphasizing the Bible. We are showers, we're not tellers. I want to encourage you to get into a showing mode when it comes to personal evangelism. Now, I know you're very tempted to tell them the answer. I've been very tempted to tell people the answers. But you see, we're not there to tell them what we think. We're not there to tell them our opinions. We want to get them into the book as quickly as possible. The faster you get them into the Bible, and the less talking you do, the better results you're going to see. And so here is an example of how you do the show and tell, the show instead of tell. She asked in one point in the study, do you believe the churches of Christ are the only ones going to heaven? Now, some people may fear a question like this, but I didn't fear. This is what I did. This is a great question, Sheila. May I show you the answer? I continued to use the word show as they continued to ask me questions because I wanted to get them into the Bible. I didn't want to give them my thoughts or my opinions. In fact, this really goes with the previous point of deferring instead of debating. Really, this wasn't even the right question. It's not even framed in the right way. And so, again, this is a biblical concept. Take your Bibles and let's spend just a few minutes in Luke 10:25-26. Jesus is the master evangelist. He never said the wrong things. He always said the perfect things. Let's notice how Jesus handled questions from someone about eternal life. In verse 25, it says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So this is a potential Bible study. Here's someone saying, what must I do to be saved? There couldn't be a better question in life. So Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? And how readest thou? Three words we're going to emphasize. The first one is written, because Jesus knew the power to save was in the written word. Notice the law. Jesus knew they needed to go to the correct place of the writings, not philosophical writings, not traditional writings, but the word of God, the law. And then notice what Jesus said. How readest thou? Jesus didn't quote it to him. Jesus wanted him to quote it. Jesus wanted him to meditate upon the words. Friends, the faster we get them into the scriptures and show them and let them read the word of God, the better result we're going to see. But that's not the only lesson we learn in Luke 10:25-29. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto the Jews, and who is my neighbor? When I was a younger man, I was more interested in winning the argument than the soul. I enjoyed the debate too much. It was as I kept a tally sheet and a score. And I believed it was a successful study if I had more points than they did. I want you to understand that that's what that lawyer wanted. He really wasn't interested in what he needed to do to be saved. He wanted to one up the Lord. He wanted to show as a lawyer, I'm a better arguer, I'm a better debater than you are. Friends, in order to be a successful evangelist, you've got to love the soul first. Jesus wasn't there to debate this lawyer. Jesus, in fact, he wanted him to be saved. And this is why Jesus gave him that great parable of the Samaritan. He wanted him to understand the principles that he knew. But see, this lawyer just wanted to justify himself. And this is not about the messenger. Friends, this is about the message. And if we're going to be successful evangelists, we must emphasize the scriptures. Colossians 3:16-17 further emphasizes this point. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word has got to be in the heart. If we don't plant the word of God in the heart and let it grow and produce faith, they're not going to obey the gospel. It's going to end up being a debate. Teaching, that's what the word of God does, and admonishing. one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Look at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Here's what this scripture is teaching. That the word of God gets in your heart. And when it gets in your heart through the eyes, by, of course, reading the scriptures, it becomes your authority for all that you do. Let me give you one more passage. In Romans 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power is not in the messenger. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the teacher. It's not about the instructor. Dear friends, it's always about the word of God. I want to give you the third point in our lesson today about putting the message into the study. We need to plant. We don't need to pick. This is illustrated very clearly in the parable of the soils. In Luke 8 and 15, we're going to boil this down to just a very basic verse and principle. And that on the good ground are they which are of an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Did you remember Scarlett Birdwell in the first lesson? I remember that statement she made. Remember when they were antagonizing her and they wanted her to know, why did you change, Scarlett? That powerful sentiment that she expressed. Do you really want to know? Because if you know what I know, you'll do what I did. That's the effect of a good and honest heart. Dear friends, when you plant the seed in good and honest hearts, they're going to obey. We just need to find those. Let me give you a quick illustration, or a true story that happened. I was walking one day into a local diner, and as many people do, we would converse with one another. Out in the country, most of us know one another. They knew I was the preacher, and a man looked at me and said, here comes this Campbellite. He began to antagonize me. He began to throw out questions, and I walked over to him, and this is what I said, sir, would you like to come to my home tonight? My wife would cook you a wonderful meal. We'd have dessert. We could visit a little while, and then we'll have a Bible study. You should have seen the look on his face. First, he wasn't interested in any biblical answers. He was there just to antagonize. And this is where we understand the concept. Let scriptures pick. Let the scriptures divide. We don't need to be picking winners and losers in evangelism. You see, we just plant the seed. And the scriptures will determine who it is who's receptive. Let me further illustrate this in another account in Mark chapter 10. You see, in Mark chapter 10, verse 22, we have the account of Jesus and the rich young ruler. There are some fascinating things about this particular encounter, or study, if you will. You see, when Jesus saw him coming, he knew something that you and I can't know. He knew his heart. He knew he was a covetous man. And so as Jesus is going down through this particular study, Jesus makes a statement about him giving up everything he has. It's because Jesus knew it was a stumbling block for this young man. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 22. And he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You see, Jesus did not look into his heart and say, he's not worth my time. Jesus didn't look into his heart and say, well, you know, he's wealthy, and usually wealthy people are not interested in the gospel. Jesus looked in his heart, saw he was covetous, and still taught him the gospel. Jesus wasn't in the picking business. He was in the planting business. And he allowed the word of God to be the determining factor on whether or not he was receptive to the scriptures. Friends, the scriptures will divide the good and honest hearts from the deceptive hearts. After Jackie and Sheila became Christians, they were experiencing some pressure from their friends and family. In fact, it was constant and it was increasing. It was discouraging to her especially. She asked me one time, she says, Rob, how do I deal with all these questions and all these comments that are made to me? It's very difficult for me right now. I said, Sheila, may I give you some scriptural advice? The advice is this. Would you just sow the seed in their heart? Invite them to come and do a personal Bible study. She said, I don't know if I know enough. Sheila, it'll be just fine. You invite them to come do a personal Bible study, and we'll determine who's honest and who's not. So she started to do that. She invited every family, friend, neighbor, anyone, her co-workers. If you've got a question, let's come to my house and do a personal Bible study. Do you know what happened? She had not one person who wanted to do a study. They really weren't interested in the truth. They had other motivations behind the questions they were asking. So she didn't pick who she taught. They determined it. Let me share with you what it says in Acts 13:46. Paul did the very same thing. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be first preached and spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. We don't choose who's worthy and unworthy. Friends, the gospel chooses that. When a person rejects the gospel, they deem themselves unworthy. And so we plant, we don't pick. Friends, we've got to stay with the message. Let me summarize what we've learned so far. Number one, we've got to defer. Let's not debate. Let's make sure that we're ready. They're ready for the study. Number two, show them the scriptures. Let them read the scriptures. Don't quote the scriptures. Let the scriptures get in their hearts. Don't tell them. Number three, let's be planters of the word, and let's not be pickers. Let's not choose. Let the word of God determine who's worthy. The scriptures are very plain about the need for using the message. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Did you notice it's the law of the Lord? I was very discouraged several years ago when a friend of mine, he called me and he told me that something that was being said to him about evangelism. He said he was being told that organized Bible studies just don't work anymore, that we needed to take a more conversational approach. He wanted to know what I thought. Well, Psalm 19:7 are my thoughts. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What people need is not a good conversation about Jesus. What they need is to get into the book. They need to have a Bible study. Friends, the converting power is not in the gift of gab. It's not in my personality. The converting power is in the scripture. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I want to introduce you to someone that's very special. He's very special because he's someone that I know very well. I want to relate to you his conversion. He wrote this. I had little interest in the church during my teenage years. It was not until I joined the Navy at the age of 19 that I realized something was missing in my life. I began my search for the church in the Bible. After visiting different denominations, I finally decided to visit the Church of Christ, where I was based at the U.S. Naval Air Station in Paxuant River, Maryland. At the time, I was unaware that my brother Terry, who I had very little contact with, was pursuing the ministry in the Church of Christ. One Sunday morning, I decided to take a taxi to the nearby Church of Christ in Lexington Park, Maryland. I was immediately surrounded as they showered me with attention. They insisted on taking me out to eat and returning me to the base. They provided transportation to the services from that time forward. I did not know anything about the church and partook in communion with everyone else. Soon after attending the church, a young fellow sailor visited with me. He became aware I was not baptized and discouraged me from taking communion. The members continued to be very hospitable, taking me into their homes. It was not long before the minister, Frank Starling, had me in his home for a Bible study. I believe it was the Jewel Miller film strips that we studied. It became evident that I was in the right place according to what the Bible teaches about salvation and the church. I was baptized soon after the study was completed on May 16, 1965. Why was this significant? Well, there were a couple of things we're going to learn. We're going to learn, number one, that there is a need for hospitality. That's going to be discussed thoroughly in our next lesson about the manner and how we get into a study. They treated him so well. But here's the key for this lesson. I want you to notice the organized Bible study. If they just had conversations about Jesus, he may have never obeyed the gospel. This young man obeyed the gospel because someone took them into their home and they sat down in an organized effort to teach the scripture. The date was May 16, 1965, and the man that you're looking at in the screen is my father. I want you to consider the significance of the study. One Bible study, and I want you to notice all of what it produced. Because of that one study, my sister and I are Christians. Because of that one study, my children will be Christians. Her children, Christians. Because of that study, all those that we come into contact with and taught the gospel are Christians. Dear friends, don't underestimate the power of the message. It changes not just one life. It can change thousands of lives. I'm not willing to give this country up. This nation can be turned back to God one Bible study at a time if we just put the Bible back into personal Bible studies.
Said today, and if you were in my class this morning, I believe what we studied this morning went well with what was presented by this gentleman. And my point is that we can never stop trying to teach. I got a lot out of what he had to say, because if he was in the class, I said I try to help a lot of people as a teenager to convert them. But I never invite them to a Bible study at my house. It was always in conversation. I didn't, not one time, get anybody convinced. So, as the scriptures we talked about in the class will convict you themselves by studying what Christ has to say in the scriptures, not what I have to say. And we forget, even though we're Christians, that we're supposed to lead people to the gospel and teach them. We're secondary compared to what the scriptures have to say. And I think that was very well pointed out in the scriptures today. If you have a desire to become a Christian today, if you have a desire to have prayers said in your behalf, as we sing this song, if you're able to come to the front, and we can help as best as we can. It won't be very long till this your life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend. And then the dead in Christ for beds of clay shall rise to meet the Lord and King up yonder in the skies. It won't be very long, it won't be very long, till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom throng? Get ready for that day. It won't be very long, it won't be very long, till here we cease to roam. It won't be very long till all the saints get home. And then with smiling face we'll walk the streets of gold and sing the Savior's praise, for saints are never old. It won't be very long, it won't be very long, till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom call? Get ready for that day. It won't be very long, it won't be very long, till burdens we lay down. It won't be very long till we'll receive a crown. And then we'll shout and sing with angels round the throne. And when we meet up there, we'll notice we are known. It won't be very long, it won't be very long, till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom throne?
Get ready for that day. It won't be very long. It won't be very long till earth shall pass away. It won't be very long till more come in decay. But Jesus has prepared for all who look above and trust his matchless grave. It won't be very long, it won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet that ransom throne? Get ready for that day. It won't be very long.
Closing prayer?
Yeah. Mike, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Let's go to our God. Most righteous and heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for these lessons. We want to thank you for your son Jesus that gave the ultimate sacrifice. We want to thank you for watching over each and every one of us every day. You know, we have so many on our prayer list and shut-ins and those that need your help. And please look after Sister Sue's family as they're going through this pain. We ask you to look over anybody that's traveling and just ask you to look over each and every one of us as we go through these days. This winter time is going to be hard on people, and just look over them as we go through our daily deeds. Again, we want to thank your son, Jesus, for his sacrifice on that cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.